And when he was alone, those who were about him, along with the disciples, asked him concerning the parables. And Jesus said to them, "To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God. To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God. But for outsiders, I speak in parables, lest they indeed see and perceive, lest they indeed hear and understand, and then turn and be forgiven." Now, Jesus had just told a great crowd the parable of the sower. Talked about the sower who went out to sow seed and threw some on the hard path, and the birds came down and ate it immediately. Thank you very much. And he threw some where the ground was pretty hard and there could be no real root so that the plants couldn't withstand the heat. And he threw some seed where there were thistles and thorns which choked out the growth of the good seed. And he threw some seed in fertile soil that produced 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold in its measure. And after the crowd had dispersed, and just his disciples and a few close friends were with him, they asked him about the parable, and Jesus said to them these strange words, "To you has been given the secret of the kingdom, but to those who are outside, I speak in parables, so they can see, but they cannot perceive, so they can hear, but not understand, lest they turn and receive forgiveness." Now, the Bible has a number of strange passages, but certainly this is one of them, because it seems to contradict the very scope and nature of the gospel. Is Jesus really saying that though Christianity purports to be inclusive, it's actually exclusive and discriminatory? Is Christianity just a theological tease that suggests whosoever will may come, and yet really the redemptive truth is reserved for just the insiders, while the outsiders are cast into confusion? Is Jesus really saying that the very purpose of his ministry is just to instruct the elite, the exclusive small group, and leave the rest of the world unable to receive God's love? Is that what Jesus is saying here? Let me warn you. While that seems to be the obvious meaning, the Gospel of Mark is full of trap doors. We are going to see over the course of the next few days the humanity of Jesus on full display. But the truth is, we very seldom actually accord Jesus the courtesy of true humanity. We virtually never give him the liberty to be facetious, which I think exactly what he is doing in this passage. He seems to be saying, "Look, guys, you're my favorites. I'm going to share you the true gospel. We're going to keep it among ourselves, and I'm going to speak to the outside world in such a way that they remain confused and uninvited." The problem with that interpretation is, even though it seems obvious, it doesn't hold up to scrutiny. Because the parables that Jesus tells are never about concealment. The parable of the sower could be understood by the children in Jesus' audiences. It can be understood by the young people in our audience here. It has remained for millennia as a summons, as an invitation to plant the seed of the gospel deep in our hearts. Anyone can understand it. It doesn't need interpretation. The very point of parables is not to conceal, but to make plain. Jesus uses common, mundane, everyday life examples to communicate profound divine truth to people who are unlearned and may not even be religious. He's using real life stories that are eminently accessible to anyone whose ears and whose soul are open. The very point of his parables is to invite those on the outside to come inside the circle of God's grace and redemptive love. He doesn't tell parables to hide truth. He tells parables to make God's truth plain. Which means that in his facetious words to the disciples, what he is really saying is, anyone who remains outside the circle of God's redemptive love does so by their own choice. The word of God is a summons to come from the outside inside. And those who don't accept that summons, those who don't receive that seed, do so not because the parables are confusing, but because they understand and they fear to answer the summons. They fear the call to come join the circle of grace. They see, but they don't want to perceive. They hear, but they don't want to understand. Jesus says, if you can hear my words and remain outside the circle of God's summons, you do so by your own choice. I can dramatize what I'm talking about by means of a biblical example that comes just a few chapters later. Jesus is in Tyre and Sidon, coastal communities filled with Gentiles, in an area that long has been at acrimonious relationships with the Jews. And who should come up to him in that moment but a Syrophoenician woman? As outside an outsider as she could be, as profane in religious terms as she could be. And she comes up to Jesus and says, I would like you to heal my daughter. And Jesus seems to parrot the prevailing discrimination of the Jews' day. He said, wait a second, it's not right for me to feed the dogs food that's meant for the guest at the table. Is Jesus calling this woman a dog? Was he refusing to consider her human? The Syrophoenician woman understood Jesus' banter, and she bantered back. Hey, even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall down from the table. She understood that if Jesus was really concerned about rubbing shoulders with Gentiles, he wouldn't be in Tyre and Sidon. If he was really concerned about being ritually defiled, he wouldn't be doing ministry among the people that his peers considered profane and defiled, unclean. She is as outside as an outsider can be.
But Jesus understands that she sees him clearly. Says, "Lady, go on home. Your daughter's already healed." The outsider saw more clearly than most of Jesus' own compatriots who thought they were on the inside. Who were the ultimate insiders in the Gospel of Mark? The disciples. They're part of Jesus' inner circle. They're his confidants. They're the ones he teaches the most intently. But who in the Gospel of Mark are constantly getting everything wrong? The disciples. They never understand anything correctly. They misinterpret Jesus' every words. They misconstrue every action. The disciples come off in Mark's gospel as real dummies. Who is the ultimate insider? Who is the person that when Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do you say I am?" He's the one that says, "Hey, you're the Christ. You're the Son of God." Peter. Peter's the ultimate insider. And yet, as we go on through this week, where do we find him? Standing outside the tribunal where the Sanhedrin is putting Jesus on trial, denying that he even knows Jesus. And shortly thereafter, when Jesus has been crucified, and when he gives a wordless scream and breathes his last, who recognizes his identity? A Roman pagan centurion who administered his execution. He's the one who says, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." In Mark's gospel, it's often the insiders who do not see, and it's the outsiders who see clearly. Some years ago, I lost my wallet. I lose my wallet a lot, as Melissa can tell you. But I had lost it long enough. I actually had to tell Melissa I had lost it. And received that loving, wifely scolding about how you have to be less absent-minded with things that are precious. And I had lost it just long enough. I was getting ready to call the bank and the credit card companies and do the rigmarole. When suddenly a mental image came into my mind. It was the image of my wallet. It was on a stand next to my desk in my study. So I drove home from the office. I went to that stand, and sure enough, covered partially by a piece of paper, but clearly visible, was that wallet. Now, had I looked at that spot maybe 50 times for the wallet? Yeah. But I had looked, but not perceived. I had not looked with eyes of faith that it would be there. That's what Mark is trying to say to us. That's what Mark is trying to communicate. By the time he wrote this gospel, all of the disciples were dead. By the time he wrote this gospel, the insiders and outsiders of Jesus' day had long passed from the scene. He was writing to the nascent Christian community and saying to them, "Beware. You who think you're on the inside, you who regard your position as a part of the community of faith with some pride, sometimes it's those of us who are closest to the Christ who do not see the big picture of our gospel. We do not see its ecstatic joy, its liberating grace, its astounding confidence, its redemptive invitation.
sometimes those of us who are closest are the most nearsighted, focusing upon minutia and not the big themes of God's good news. Mark is saying to those early Christians and to us, look sometimes at the gospel with fresh eyes. Recognize that sometimes it's the insiders who don't see and the outsiders who see best. Understand, he's saying, that Christianity is not one of those mystery religions with a few secrets for the esoteric Illuminati. No. There were plenty of religions like that in Jesus' day. No, Christianity is an inclusive faith whose very word is a summons, come inside the circle. See the joy, the grace, the summons. Understand that this God goes to the cross to invite us to embrace Him. If this gospel, if this Holy Week teaches us anything, it teaches us that seeing is not believing. Seeing is not believing. The disciples see. They don't usually perceive. The Pharisees see. They don't understand. The Sanhedrin sees. They do not believe. Pilate sees. But he does not accept. The lepers, the outsiders, saw Jesus as he was. So too did the lunatics. So too did the Syrophoenician woman. So too did the Roman pagan centurion who put him to death. My point to you is the very purpose of Holy Week is for us to look upon the story of our Christ with fresh eyes. And it is to open our soul so that we feel its truth, feel its pain and its joy as if for the first time. Then we come truly inside and allow the seed of the gospel to be planted deep within us.